You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow Podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. That's how podcasts move up the charts. So if you see all those, the top 150, they get stuck there because they make it. Every time you rate and review us in iTunes, that is what helps us move up the charts. So if you love this podcast, we ask you to go do that. Support us through PayPal or Patreon. Share this with friends. If you love this show, we desperately want you to share it with friends because that's how we grow, is through word of mouth. And we are supported by listeners like you. You guys help pay the bills here. You guys fund this operation. You fund all this fake news. And you can do that at WeAreLibertarians.com by paying per episode at Patreon or a monthly contribution through PayPal. And we're always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@WeAreLibertarians.com. And I must also say, you can always follow us or message us on our personal Facebook pages. If you go to WeAreLibertarians.com, then you'll see my face and Greg's face on the right-hand side, and you can add us on our personal pages. Greg Lenz is here.
How are you, buddy?
Oh, I can't hear you. That's how I am. What's happening? Go ahead.
Is this fake news?
This is fake news. I cut your mic.
I feel like we are now ahead of CNN.
Oh, we are much more credible than CNN.
And apparently BuzzFeed is a crumbling pile of garbage. Well, CNN is fake news, and We Are Libertarians is slowly climbing the ranks.
Well, when Alex Jones is the mouthpiece for the President of the United States, you know the world's upside down.
Or is it right side up?
we'll get to Alex in a few moments. We've got some developments on the InfoWars front. Joining us also is, listen, if you are friends with Greg and I on Facebook, I'm at 5,000, but you can follow me. And also, it's 2017, people. If you don't have the following feature on your Facebook, you're a cuck, bro. So follow me on Facebook or Twitter, same with Greg. And on Facebook, we care about health here. On We Are Libertarians, okay? We want healthy individuals in spirit, mind, politically healthy, and in
good,
body.
Good, well-rounded Americans.
Body. Body especially. Bittner has been losing weight, and Bittner had made a few comments.
I'm glad he finally took Never Bittner seriously.
Right, and he's wasted away. Congratulations to our good friend Brett Bittner. He's down 15% of his body. He's lost a ton of weight, and he looks great. Greg, for whatever reason, just out of nowhere, attacked him for no reason one morning and said,
No, that was to get you guys as a joke, and then I deleted it immediately because I wanted you to see it, because Bittner censors everything.
Right.
He doesn't allow our antics.
And so Greg was just very upset.
I wasn't upset. The picture looked exactly like the person in the actual picture.
Oh, well, no. That was that's a different thing. This is a week and a half ago. Not the meme where you made Brett Bittner a sex predator.
I didn't. He just said, have you seen this guy before? And literally, case could be made.
And so, but Greg one morning said, you know, I'm tired of being shamed. All this health shaming is out of control. It's a new year. So
well, I said it's annoying that all the newly found health experts are also like Christian evangelicals spouting off and shaming everyone for not adopting the gospel of health.
January is a rough month on Facebook.
A lot of pontificators. A
lot of experts. And, you know, I'm trying to get my house in shape. I'm feeling very healthy. So we went, we just were informing you of healthy options.
You weren't included. It wasn't you.
But, well, I just wanted to help and make sure, you know, to help you with your lifestyle. All you drink is scotch and Bell's Too Hearted.
Put Bell's Too Hearted in my Cheerios.
You're paleo on accident because you just eat nothing but red meat.
That's true. Well, I like Caesar salads.
Okay. You have a Caesar salad.
I like Caesar salads a lot, actually.
So,
and sushi. I'm a big fan. I'm glad you're getting into that.
I made sushi last night for the first time. It was so good. I actually did it right. I didn't have no instructions. I just came in here. I cooked the sushi rice. I put some aji men in
it's hard.
It is. And yeah, I nailed it. It was actually pretty good.
I couldn't believe it was like together.
It was
and dense. Like that's the hardest part.
I know what I can do next time. I could make good rolls next time.
Then for your next date, you can just lay sushi all over your body and let her eat it off.
Well, that is a normal night here at the Spangle Poon Palace. No, why do you got to make me a bestiality type person? I'm a very sexual man now that my tea is so high. So Greg retaliated by saying that I have low T.
I was worried about your low T.
Right.
And so I decided to create an emotional support group for you.
So we have to bring on the T expert. No one knows testosterone more than James Neese.
He's the white Mr. T, if you will.
Oh, Mr. T, he is Genghis T.
Genghis T.
He was telling us, you know, and James, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
All right. Speak into that microphone for me, bro.
I'm all right.
All right. You can move that towards you if you want to lean back.
I don't like yellow things in my face. You know I get triggered by end caps.
That's true. It's true.
He's about to get the helicopter out.
This is one episode Roger Paxton is guaranteed not to listen to.
Well, does he listen at all?
Yeah, he does.
Does he really?
Remember he lectured us on our two episodes ago because he was saying, you know, Keene is not the same as all of the Free State Project, you two morons.
Oh, yeah. You know those Liberty LARPers up there.
So I didn't say it, but I got in trouble for it.
Chainmail made out of Mountain Dew tabs.
Yep.
So we have a lot of people have been very concerned about my testosterone, thanks to you. Well, and I've received many an outpouring of support from the listeners.
You put me on government watch lists when I travel. I create emotional support networks for you so that you know you're loved and supported in all that you undertake.
Also just trolled your ex-girlfriend by saying vaccines don't work.
Oh, God.
So a listener, one listener named Tad Western signed me up for the T-Center, and I missed my appointment. So to the T-Center of the Low T-Center of Indianapolis, I sincerely apologize.
There's one right down the street, the Greenwood County Line Road.
I know. I was supposed to go over there today. Thanks to Tad. He signed me up. And then another listener, they sent in Force Factor Test 180. X180 Ignite free testosterone booster and fat burner, which has the ingredients of manliness ignition matrix and fat incineration complex. So I got that. But the thing that has worked, if you go and look at my profile picture, you'll see after two drops of this how much I have grown. My muscles are out of control. I was sent a bottle of InfoWars Light Super Male Vitality, recommended by Alex Jones, containing many great things. And I will say, I've used it the last couple days, and I have taken some samples, and I yesterday afternoon was the first day I felt it. It hit me. I took two drops, because Alex says, take one drop, because if you take the recommended dose of two, it's very powerful stuff, and you might be overwhelmed.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but no two batches are the same.
Everyone
is basically proprietary.
This is a lot number 61003104. So you check your lot number if you've got it too, and see if we're hitting the same batch. But you know, you take a couple drops. And
my God! It's the color of iced tea.
Apple cider.
Okay.
Yeah. So here, you need to take a hit of this. Just take a hit. Drop it in your mouth.
How's the taste?
It's not great, but it's not horrible. It tastes like fucked up apple cider. So you take the dropper, and you take two drops, but just do one. Just do one hit, because I don't want you to get overwhelmed in this podcast. All right? So you're dropping it in there. How's it taste?
Man, it's very apple cidery.
Yeah, isn't it? It's got, I don't know what
it's
in it.
It's more syrupy than that, but then it's got a chemical aftertaste.
Well, so it's got, you know, the tribulus testarus, which is a fruit, a root of some sort, another root, maca root, sativa, which is a leaf, summa root, bark, fulvic acid.
I heard rumors the apple taste is really because they took the essence of George Washington from his body and implemented the super malvitality.
I'm not going to give James any because James doesn't need any. He's vital enough.
I'm too vital. I probably cut 40 years of my life off because of how vital I am.
I know. So are you feeling it yet, Greg?
Not really.
No? Okay.
I haven't decided to take down the globalists yet. I'm awaiting that urge.
So, you know, Greg and I were using the toothpaste.
Yep. Well, I couldn't do it. I need mind control. I need a little bit of government mind control. Otherwise, you know, it's too big. It's too radical of a change.
Yeah.
I can't handle the red pill in a world without fluoride. I'm just not even remotely ready for it.
So I love the toothpaste, to be honest. It's tea tree oil.
Now, do you wash your mouth out with water?
I brush my teeth in the shower.
So then it's fluoride in the water.
Well, that's a good point. I negate it. I'm just full of fluoride. I can't get
away from
it.
There's no getting out of the nanny state.
I know. But I like it because it's not too strong. I don't like a strong synthetic peppermint gross taste. So
you don't like the extra whitening Arm & Hammer?
No. No. But if you're not going to use it, bring it back to me. I'll be a total Indian giver.
I liked it.
I didn't mean to appropriate your culture with that phrase.
No, well, Jeremiah Morrill already, you know, he started the trend of asking for things back. So
yeah,
figure why stop now.
So after yesterday, I will say that in using the Super Male Vitality, I was a little peakish in the middle of the day yesterday afternoon. So about 2 o'clock, I hit the Super Male Vitality. I took 3 drops.
Oh my God.
And
you're becoming an abuser.
I was so jacked. It did actually raise my energy. But
it started with one. And then it was like, you know what? I'll just go ahead and take the recommended dosage. And then now you're at 3.
Oh,
and you're using it when you're feeling down, which isn't good.
No, but all this stuff doesn't actually work.
That's what you think now.
Yeah.
So then part of your monthly budget is $500.
$500
of GNC supplements.
So, yeah. So congratulations to Bittner. Congratulations to me on my new high tea. I'm not as fertile
as
James.
We haven't checked it.
I haven't. No,
you're right.
The correct
term for men is virile. Like, fertile is a female term.
Very virile.
You would know that if your tea was high enough.
So you son of a bitch. Well, I'm reading about it. I got a book from the library.
Why isn't there a knee supplement?
There should be a knee supplement. Well, we're working on several products. Because of the new inspiration, because of my new health fitness, and Bittner and I talked, we've created Wall Health, W-A-L Health, trademarked. And
trademarked.
Aaron Ewert, I put him in charge because he's the most in shape of all of us.
Crosswall.
Right. So he does CrossFit.
He can't even eat certain things. How is he the most in shape?
Well,
he only eats BW3s, like boneless wings.
He doesn't eat beef broth, bone broth. That's what it is. Because he's like paleo. Food? It's all he can get down.
He has like food allergies.
Right.
But yes, he's in shape, but he also eats the worst diet of only alcohol and BW3's boneless wings with absolutely no roughage.
No. He has stacked pickles.
Those are beers.
He eats a stacked pickle. Oh, you're right. Yeah, he doesn't really eat a stacked pickle. The official green room of We're Libertarians.
I just eat Indian food like every day. It's like
is disgusting.
Oh, no. That's the best food.
Indian food, I hate curry.
He thinks everything's curried. I'm like, there's chicken masala, there's sag, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
No. The naan.
Yeah.
I don't know what a naan is.
It's the bread.
Is she spry? So Aaron is in charge of Wall Health. We're developing several products. One of them is a James Neese workout DVD. We're gonna have
what's that gonna entail?
It's a monkey fucking a goat.
Where are you playing the part, or what part are you playing?
It's a deer, by the way.
Is it just common? Are you like Morgan Freeman, just gonna do commentary?
Yeah,
or narrate.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, this is actually not really a order of the old primates. This is actually a baboon, which is more of a canine type of primate. You know, just going over the details of what the monkey is.
Are you calling certain primates mongrels?
There's certain primates that are less than primate, is what I'm saying. You know, looking at you, bonobos and chimpanzees.
Now we're technically the closest to bonobos genetically, right?
Yeah, somewhere along the line we got cucked by one. I don't know.
First, thank you, by the way, James, for helping me try to cuck today. A girl that I was madly in love with 15 years ago in high school, Sam, she commented on something, and it was my sushi, actually, and she said, you know, man, you're going to get girls left and right with this sushi roll. And I said, hey, I wish you were single. And she said, well, if I were, I would hit you up. To which James replied,
like, it's 2017. Our sushi is the current year. It's the current year.
Are we John Oliver?
Yeah, we're John Oliver. It's the current year. Marriage, it is what it is. Cuck, highest rated thing on Pornhub right now. Go to Pornhub, look at the top 10. Cuck Holdings right there, next to Cream Pie.
Also, baby stepsister porn. Did you see what I put in chat yesterday?
Yeah.
There's a stepsister porn where she is training for magic. It's the funniest thing I've ever
How
seen.
How did we get to this topic?
I don't know. James is here.
I do love it that James Neese is an expert. Some people are experts in Google keywords, not Neese. Neese is an expert in Pornhub trends.
Pornhub trends.
Everybody has their niche.
Well, to speak to his credentials for being so high T, he was telling us that he may have hundreds of children across the state of Indiana.
Before we get to that, my favorite thing about Neese is everyone that's been on this health kick, Neese has been going around shaming, saying that I, because of my metabolism, I'm going to live way longer than you. How does that make you feel?
Every
and
time,
every time. He's like, I eat burritos and slam tall boy Bud Lights.
He walked in here today and in between sips of his 44 ounce soda goes, hey bro, did you cuck? I helped you out with that cuck, bro. Did you get it?
Yes, I'm sorry. Back
Can
to
Can you please mute your phone, Jace? What's your face? Not you, Greg. No. The other one. He's sending his James. I don't like knowing that James has a girlfriend because it ruins the Neesian myth.
That really bugged you guys when you found out that, like,
and she followed us on Instagram, which is
made
cool.
It too real.
It made it too real. Like seeing James as a dad. He's a father of two, by the way. You know, as he cares
and counting
legitimate.
Legitimate too.
Claims ownership
legally.
If they want to be part of House Bolton, they got to retake Winterfell. That's all I'm saying. Like it's
and he keeps walking around taking photos of my cat, sending them to his girlfriend, which is too sweet. That's not what I want, Niece. I want Niece eating out of dumpsters in Jacksonville.
You want the character Niece,
right? I don't want the master's degree from the University of Chicago, Niece. I want, you know, slamming some hoe
urban survivalist
under a bridge. In downtown Chicago.
I'm midway there. Like, I took my shoes off for you guys.
So you did?
You can get that whiff of tea coming because, like, my feet fucking smell, but it is what it is.
Are those kids?
He's wearing...
black kids?
Yep, black kids. He always is insanely early, which he violates the rule of being early.
Or there was a one-time aberration from that pattern where he was 2 hours late.
Yes.
And only because we were on a three-hour diatribe.
Right.
And Creighton just kept going and going. Niece showed up for the very end.
If you can find that episode from 2, 3, 4 years
episode
ago.
Episode 43, I think.
Yeah.
2013.
Where James shows up 2 hours late and then start talking about dumpster diving
and
in Jacksonville. It's the funniest stuff ever.
Labor theory of value.
It's so funny. And so
you're not a mutualist, you're a fucking scumbag.
So he got here 45 minutes early, and I had finished cleaning up because Thursday is my night to frantically clean before you guys get here. And so I had
a good time constraint thing, otherwise it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, like, all right, I better get all this off the toilet and better vacuum this.
All this
and,
off the toilet.
Yeah, well, a lot of kale going on in here. In fact, James sat there and watched me as I cooked my ibasa fish and my
kale. It looked great.
Oh, yeah. This is great. Okay, here's a recipe. I'll actually do a diet video for you, a recipe video for you, Greg. And then I'll post it so you can watch and you can make it at home. It's a healthy meal.
What is it?
You put some basa. I got some basa fish from the local fish store.
Kaplinger's or
Kaplinger's, which is
locally sourced.
If you're, it's locally I think sourced. From New Zealand. No,
they fly it in daily.
Yeah,
everything's freshly flown in each day.
Best fish store you can go, Fishmonger,
the hidden gem of Indy.
Yep, Kaplinger's with a C.
I thought Dancer's was the best fish store because it smells kind of funny.
So there.
It smells like fried carp.
No, you walk into Kaplinger's and it doesn't smell like fish. That's how you know it's a good fish store.
If it's fresh.
Right. And so I got the basa, which is very tasty, and I put it in there, and then I put some ghee in there, which is the butter with, you know, it's reduced butter.
Butter reduction.
And then, you know, ghee is actually very tasty. It's very good for you. And so you get the ghee, you put that in there, you put the fish in there, you season it.
You chop the fish?
No, just put it in there, and then after you flip the fish after a couple minutes, you know, then you put in the mushrooms, put in the mushrooms and the garlic, and then you let it cook a little bit, and then you throw all the chopped kale in there, and then, you know, you...
There was no pasta in what you made?
No.
It looked like a pasta dish.
Then you mix it all up, and then you hit it with some rice wine vinegar, or rice vinegar, and then I put some feta cheese in it.
Yeah, I could tell that.
Yeah, and there's some sesame oil in it. It tastes...
It smelled great and looked great.
It tastes as good as a restaurant. I made it all up. All
right, is it as good as a burrito?
All right, this is what I did before I came here. That's a really healthy meal. I went to Mr. Dan's and smashed like 4 fucking Coney dogs, dude. Like
Mr. Dan's?
Yeah, like the 24-hour hot dog stand that's in the ghetto.
Where's that at?
It is in the most ghetto areas of Indianapolis. Yeah.
I've never even heard of it.
They open a Mr. Dan's and it closes within 6 months, and then they open another Mr. Dan's.
Yeah, it's like
Liberty Tax.
It is. Yeah,
it's like it's open 24/7. So basically, all the drunks go there like 3 o'clock in the morning because it's only open. Yeah, it's like a hot dog and burger shop where you get like a bacon, egg burger and shit like that.
It's very unhealthy.
Yeah, it's like straight up organic at all. It's straight up greasy. It's just like, so I'll go pound like 4 of those. And as I eat them, and Chris is like, I got this quinoa and kale milkshake. And I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking, Chris, you're going to die by like 66. Man, I'm going to keep trucking at least 90.
I got them good genes.
Thanks for that positivity.
Those genes. It's all about the genetics. See, people are like Bittner's over there. It's like, man, I'm losing all this weight. And I'm just sitting there shoving hot dogs down my mouth and like shotgunning Miller Lights. Slamming
a 44-ounce Mountain Dew. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to live forever. Like, he's like, you're eventually going to die. I'm like, that's where you're wrong, kiddo, because I'm going to be cryogenically frozen and come back as a fucking cyborg. Like, you are never killing this.
Yeah, you...
They're going to take my brain and make it the operating system of the future.
What is your 44-ounce drink of choice?
I do a suicide. I like to get a taste of everything.
I haven't heard anyone say that since I was a child.
Since seventh grade.
Since I was playing Babe Ruth baseball.
Ninth grade field trip to the zoo. Wow. We stop at the Ponderosa as a class.
That isn't funny because my class didn't get to go to the zoo because your class killed turtles and was throwing things at the monkeys. So we never got a zoo trip because of you.
Yes. It was actually me and my friends specifically.
I believe it. And you blamed it on the kid that took steroids.
Well, God rest his soul. Great, great kid.
He's working in a factory now because of you. Are you proud of that?
No, he's actually not.
He passed away.
No, my friend was actually, he was one of the strongest people you've ever met. Didn't get to go compete in the World's Strongest Man competition because school wouldn't let him out of a final. Huge dude, big, just really big muscular guy, and he drowned in the White River because his foot got stuck in a tree. And it
while kayaking.
And it was just like one of those things where you go, okay, here's the strongest person I've ever met in my life. Anybody can die at any time. There are forces beyond your control. And it was one of those things when I was younger where I just went, wow, okay, life is, it'll fuck you up.
Yep.
And so
you can take every precaution you want and it doesn't matter.
Had a bunch of classes with this kid in high school and college, loved him to death, and worked out. He's actually the one who taught me how to lift weights in high school and, you know, still hitting it in the gym.
Rest in peace, Adam. I love that guy. He was a great guy.
He was, but he might...
Except for when he would squeeze the baby carrots that were a little too slimy and it hit the blind kid in the head that was sitting alone at lunch. That was a little bit cruel.
He was a little bit... he had a lot of testosterone, a lot of tea.
He did. He was funny, but he didn't necessarily think how mean it was.
Yeah. And so he might have thrown a turtle or three.
Killed it.
And killed it at the Indianapolis Zoo on our ninth grade field trip.
It was turtle genocide.
My friend, Nate, might have climbed all the rocks in the desert. He went mountain climbing in the desert exhibit and might have killed a snake. Let's see. There were a couple. My friend, Dean, might have gotten his gum stuck in a monkey's genital area. Mm-hmm.
Plainfield
High School. And then we didn't get to do a senior prank really because they decided to jump in the pool illegally.
So
they had a pool party in the middle of the school day. So they ruined everything for my high school experience.
Yeah, because you were what, two?
1 year behind you.
1 year behind me. And so, yeah, the zoo banned Plainfield for 4 years, so we couldn't go back.
And senior, like the last day, we were watched like hawks.
Yep, and so senior year, it was actually all on the news. I was in the video club. I think I have statutory limitations or whatever those are.
Well, MTV made a special about it.
Yeah, and so a bunch of kids went and jumped in the pool. My friend Jacob, he was a registered lifeguard, so he was a lifeguard. Yeah,
they were smart about it, but people didn't know that at the time.
Right. And so it was like in our high school, we had an indoor pool where in the middle of the school, you could look in at the pool. And so the word got around that everybody was going to go jump in the pool in their clothes in the middle of this hour. And so I was like, me and my friend started the video club. So we videotaped the whole thing. And they were like searching all the computers, but we had done some James Bond shit and we had downloaded it and gotten it off there. This is 02 when like editing video took 18 hours to do, but they knew we had a tape. And so they still suspended them all for like 7 days. It was a crazy, ridiculous suspension.
Oh, I know a lot of people that were waitlisted for the college of their choice were spreading it out really bad.
Yeah. And so and it's so innocuous and stupid. They jumped in a pool. Come on. And they got this huge, long suspension. And so we called because we had the tape. We called Fox 59 and we said, hey, we've got tape of this. Do you want it? Meet us at Swinford Park behind the high school. And we gave the film, the footage, to Fox 59, and they were so pissed. They were mad at the teacher. That's when they searched all the computers. They interviewed each and every one of the kids in the video club. None of us broke. It was never revealed until
never admit.
Today.
I like how your school is like a huge conspiracy with pool jumping. The worst thing that happened at my school is we had a kid named Johnny Alexander. And Johnny, this is shouting out to you, my boy, is Johnny Alexander was the only Jewish kid in our school. You know, this is Lebanon, Indiana. This is a farming community. It was 99.9% white, but he was the only Jewish kid. And there was also like a really poor
kid. Is his dad the doctor or the attorney?
His dad's like a realtor.
Black sheep of the family.
So Johnny Alexander is Jewish, but his dad would like only give him like $2 for lunch or something, you know what I mean? Like,
that's okay. I just want to be clear. Greg just spit beer out of his nose.
I didn't spit
beer
it out.
Beer came out of his nose right as James said that.
This is the meanest thing we've ever done. But Johnny's dad would only give him $2 for lunch because Johnny's dad rationalized it as it's $1.65 for the pizza, so like whatever, right? So we had this really poor kid named Larry.
Oh, no.
And, like, Larry was, like, you know, like, his mom was on SNAP and WIC and shit, and he had no money for school. And we sat in the lobby, and there's, like, you know, 50 kids in the lobby almost, like, every time at lunch. We eat lunch, go sit in the lobby. Johnny is, like, you know, he's a bigger kid, but he's fucking hungry, but he's Jewish, right?
So what does that have to do with anything? What does that mean? What?
I'm getting to it. So we're just... me and like a bunch of like these kids that I hung out with, just a bunch of kids that just smoked pot and like got the fuck out. We're like, it's gonna be funny. Let's take like a buck and we put it in like an empty soda bottle and like crushed the soda bottle and threw it. And like Johnny and this poor kid would fight. And Johnny,
you had bum wars with kids that were upper middle class and went to a 4A white school?
It was like the reverse Coliseum.
Oh my God. Although Aaron Ewart's no worse with that one girl.
Oh, I know.
But
just let them finish.
Johnny would lose to the poor kid because the poor kid was kind of like crafty, you know? He's like, gets the bottle and gets the dollar, so, you know, he get the drink. And Johnny was at shop class one day, and he stole one of the metal rulers for it.
Uh-huh.
And so when we threw a dollar down the next day, like, Johnny fucking stabbed that kid, like, shanked him with a ruler. And I'm like, that's the first time I've ever, you know, seen like a Jewish person actually stab somebody over a dollar. And I was just like, I told 4chan about it and it was just cracking the fuck up.
Of course.
And, you know, and I'm just sitting there like shouting out this guy. And, you know, like, we had a kid named Larry who has special needs. We throw pennies at, but, you know.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Oh, and we had a kid named Tyler. And we had a biology lab where we dissected some frogs.
It was Tad.
We thought it would be funny. Like, what happens if we take the glove off and slap him with it? We got formaldehyde in this kid's eye.
Oh my
and
God. To go to,
I'm not saying like your school has like homegrown terrorists like Brian Kill and like you guys jumping right into pools, but my school, like, I'm not saying like we hated the minorities, but
it was simpler times.
Johnny was a Jew and he fought over a dollar. Like, Johnny, you're making a stereotype right fucking now, dude. It's like, you're making a stereotype.
I think the only fight that in the 4 years that I was there, Tony Noge beat some kid with a lunch tray at lunch.
I haven't heard that name in so long.
I know. That's it. That was the only fight I can remember.
Oh my God.
It was great. I mean, it was 98% white and the other two were Muslim. But it was, you know, it was a very sheltered suburban existence. So, you know, I never got in trouble. I was always the class clown, but I was, you know, I was always hiding my mischief. If you can believe this, Greg, I was the class clown, but nobody ever blamed me.
Well, no, that's par for the course.
Yeah.
Not much has changed all these years later.
Nope. So I learned my, although in seventh grade, I did call Mr. Roll, I think it was, a fucking cunt. And he happened to be on lunch duty that day and was standing right behind me. And that didn't go well for me.
I don't remember Mr. Roll.
I don't know if that was his name. It was something along that.
What department?
I saw one. He was like a PE or special ed teacher or something. So I saw Larry Schweikart in the library the other day. I hated him when he was my seventh grade history teacher. So I just pretended that I didn't, you know.
You avoided the awkward interaction?
Didn't look him directly in the eye and, no, I don't know who you are.
I just called Plainfield High School's basketball game with Rob Kendall last
week. You did, yeah. I haven't put that in our SoundCloud. We have a SoundCloud, and I'll put the audio of you and Rob. You were the color commentator for Rob
County
Kendall.
Basketball tournament, yeah. Audio Sports Online.
What were some of the highlights?
Plainfield, basically Plainfield has a 6'10 center and a 6'7 power forward.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and then they have a 6'8 guy off the bench. Like, they got crushed by Cascade. Just decimated because they're all soft. Like, Plainfield's become like very soft caramel white kids, and like no Plainfield fans showed up, like of the students.
Right.
It was all like alumni.
Were they melanin enhanced or melanin deficient?
Oh, they're on their phones the entire time. There are only two rows of like students supporting.
He's talking about the players.
Yeah, the player. Yeah. Or I'm talking about like even the Plainfield High School, like fans, the kids, they're not cool enough, or
it's not a thing to do.
You can tell they're just like, I would not fit in at all in today's high school generation.
No.
The age, like, I am nothing like high school kids today.
I'll post the photos on WoW, but like in high school, I was on the academic teams, and I actually went to an Army surplus store and bought like a general jacket and four-starred my ass out with like ribbons and shit.
Straight Pinochet?
I straight up like General Patton these kids to like history. We did Russian history. It was like Catherine the Great years.
He was like Sam Kinison in Back to School.
Oh, God, yeah.
I was like, oh.
Running through the rice paddies and
say it, say it, say it. But I did that in Spell Bowl. And
yeah, you need a bucket and stuff. So, what you sent me a photo of you in like some Mao outfit. What was that?
I spent 2 years in China.
You did not. When?
Before the globalist?
He sent me a photo of him in a green outfit, and he was dressed like Chairman Mao.
I was really weird in high school. Like, I would buy like Nazi uniforms and Mao uniforms and wear them there just to see who would fucking say shit. And I'm just like, let me wear this obviously SS uniform to class to see who says something.
School spirit dress up day. Here comes a Nazi.
It wasn't even like any special day. It was just like average every day. Like any random Wednesday, James Neese is wearing swastikas in a class again.
My God.
And I would just dare them to do something, you know? They're like, look what I'm wearing. And the teachers just didn't care.
Hope you didn't do that when you made the Jew kid fight over the dollar.
No kidding.
I probably did. We're talking Lebanon High School, guys. Like,
it's a good high school.
It's a good high school, but...
In a nice community.
A nice community.
We had one black kid go to our school, and it was...
Now you revealed something to me and Greg before the podcast that blows my mind. Something that I cannot believe. For years, you have been making money by donating your sperm.
Correct.
And you don't go to a clean clinic. You just go on some rando website and find women, and you go. You don't go there. You go to their house. You go in their bathroom, you beat off in the bathroom, you hand them a cup of your sperm, and then you walk out, and they hand you $40 in cash, and what else?
Sometimes an Arby's gift card.
And you have how many kids running around?
I don't know. You usually sign a contract, they don't know. I'm hoping that I can beat Genghis Khan, because fuck that cuck.
Isn't that like 41% of humanity?
Is that most of the world has like Genghis's blood.
Yeah, Prima Nocta.
Right.
Yeah, because I want it to be like a point where like you beat Genghis Khan, and it's like, you know, it's like Genghis Khan, the warlord, James East, the shit poster, and it's like...
Genghis Khan didn't live in an era with child support.
Yeah.
I mean, James, could you imagine James? James Neese walks into your house and you still allow him to go to your bathroom to masturbate?
I've never thought about it like that.
Like,
I'm a little...
James Neese walked in on me naked one time and I've tried to fist fight him. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Like... James, no offense, you're a little weird.
Mm-hmm. They think of that as eccentric.
Oh, okay.
Because women don't really know, you know what I mean?
It is a thing, like maybe they don't know that this isn't not normal. They think, oh, yeah, lots of guys do this.
I mean, you guys are like shit posters. They're like, man, he's just like Howard Hughes. Okay, well, like, yeah. I moderate 4chan, we'll go with that.
Are you a mod?
Yeah, I still have mod powers.
What board?
B.
You're a B mod?
Yeah.
I'm going to just start calling you out.
You just fangirled.
I did.
You literally just...
Well, B's not what it used to be.
His eyes just got so big. He was so...
Have you ever been on B?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I turned little Jeff Vibbert onto 4chan B, and that's all he does now. He just sits there and reads 4chan all day.
Well, it's not exactly...
He'll walk in and he'll be like, I saw the craziest trap thread last night. It was insane. It was hilarious.
Well...
It's the most rock bottom.
Yep.
Probably time to segue into something less rock bottom.
It's the realest news. I mean, CNN, fake. MSNBC,
good segue.
Fake.
BuzzFeed,
garbage.
A collapsing pile of garbage.
4chan poll, legitimate.
So
Don Lemon thinks it's okay to beat up mentally handicapped white Trump supporters.
Yeah, so
he blames it on bad parenting.
I'm going to play the clip of Trump yelling at CNN because
his first press conference
in 6 months, he basically came out and said, "Listen, we were having many successful press conferences. They were so beloved. People love them. That's how we won. But you guys were so unkind. You were so unfair that I had to stop doing them." And so now he decided to do a press conference, actually held a press conference, and he outlined his transition of his businesses over to his two sons.
Yeah, divesting his assets.
Right, and Ivanka would then be stepping back, and so...
Well, it sounds like she's going to have to, because Kushner accepted a job
as a senior
in the administration. Yeah, as an advisor.
And I get the impression she's going to do all the first lady stuff.
She will.
Yeah.
Yep, and she'll do it exceptionally well, whereas
absolutely.
Melania doesn't want to be in the public limelight at all.
Her heart's not in it at all. And so we got a press conference out of the Donald.
We got one for the ages.
There was one point that I laughed so hard where I will play that three other people in my office of 10 turned on the press conference to watch it because it's fascinating. So I'm going to play this and then we'll get into the fake news and what happened, what he's talking about exactly and why he's upset at CNN and BuzzFeed. Which is a failing news organization. It's crumbling around it. And so here is Donald Trump, and he opens it up for questions. He has just gone on to say that BuzzFeed is a piling, crumbling piece of crap and that CNN sucks. And so Jim Acosta tries to get a question in, and Donald Trump won't have it.
It's a question. Mr. President-elect, go ahead. Can you give us a chance to ask a question, sir? Go ahead. Sir, can you state categorically that you are attacking us? Can you give us a question? Don't be rude. You're not going to give you a question. I'm not going to give you a question. You are fake news. Sir, go ahead. Can you state categorically that nobody... No, Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
We had the mics off, and so I was kind of telling them, and it just blows my mind that, like, Donald Trump, of all people, is telling people what is and is not rude. And it's just so funny, like, Mr. President, that's not appropriate. Like, he's the president now, so he's kind of telling you what is and is not appropriate. Like, they are just crying like little babies. I mean, they're just, this is not appropriate. It's just, they're losing it.
They are.
So... Why is Donald Trump mad at CNN, Greg?
CNN fell for fake news. CNN is, I guess, they're not victims because they knowingly knew there were very loose ties, but they made the assumption that the intelligence community could be trusted in leaks from them about a dossier of 35-page, just entirely fictional report about Donald Trump that was leaked from the intelligence community to CNN, they went ahead and reported it as if it were 100% fact without ever getting to the, you know, verifying the authenticity of the original source.
Right. And so this page, which BuzzFeed actually posted the entire
thing. They posted the whole dossier, like the entire 35-page dossier of, you know, basically a guy that was hired, a former MI6 spy for the British government by Jeb Bush to conduct opposition research on Donald Trump. And it, you know, once Trump won the nomination, he was then hired by the Democrats.
Yeah.
It was continually passed along and to the point where it went from Jeb's committee to Hillary Clinton's committee to handed off by a 4chan troll to Rick Wilson, the guy that shouted, or no, that was Joe Wilson, Rick Wilson.
Rick Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, Rick Wilson, who's a neocon, who handed off to Evan McMullen.
He was he worked for Mitt Romney's campaign. I think he was the senior advisor.
Yeah, and then Evan McMullen had it, and then from Evan McMullen,
who is a former CIA agent.
And ran for president this year in Utah, right. Who handed it off to John McCain. And then John McCain handed it off to the intelligence agencies. And then it was leaked. We don't know the exact details yet, but we do know that it went from the intelligence agencies to CNN. And then this had been circulated to every news and media outlet. Like they've all had this and no one has even thought about, you know, going ahead and putting it out there because they can't, you know, the original source is a shit poster. If James had done a better job moderating 4chan, this never would have happened. But they decided a 4chan hoax was planted and sold to Rick Wilson and made it all the way to the upper echelons of mainstream news.
Right.
And they did this intentionally. They did it to show how biased the media was. And the really sad part is that it wasn't just, you know, the media. It was the intelligence community. This is James Clapper. This is the entire surveillance apparatus. And the fact that they did this, I mean, it almost seems conspiratorial, but like the kind of coordination between the, you know, the CIA and the mainstream press.
I don't have the audio set up here, but there was a point in the press conference where he basically says, you know, I set up a meet, you know, every time I would meet with these guys, our intelligence agencies, information about the media, about the meeting and the information in the meeting would get leaked out. And
he blamed himself first. So he looked said, internally.
So he said, maybe it's my organization. You know, I have the best people. I hire the greatest people. But I wanted to make sure that it wasn't my team first. So I set up a meeting with these people. And not even Rhoda, or I think her name was Rhoda.
Yeah, his long-time executive assistant.
He said nobody knew what was going on in the meeting. Nobody even knew I had the meeting. And then as soon as they left, it all got reported. So I knew that it wasn't the people on my team that were leaking this information, because not even my personal assistant that I trust with my entire life and organization leaked it. So it has to be the intelligence agencies, and they're betraying the American people. Hold on, sorry. Say that again, James.
That's nothing new, though. Like that, J. Edgar Hoover used to have dossiers on JFK, on MLK. Several prominent senators.
Yep.
And he would actually have agents spy on people elected that were left-leaning to a bit and accuse them of being communists. So when people are like, the intelligence committee is actually just doing like this political hack job on all these presidencies, that's nothing new with the FBI or the CIA. They've done that to pretty much every single president going back to the 60s.
Yeah.
They have, but no one's been so, no one's vilified them like Trump has.
Right.
You know, by making it a Trump point to mock the Iraq war and the incredible incompetence of the intelligence community, he has challenged them at their very core. Like what they do, the premise is the intelligence community collects intelligence. He actually questioned whether or not they're capable of doing so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
they're the non-intelligence agency.
It really seems like he might have the mindset of Alex Jones towards, he was talking to RFK about vaccines. He was an anti-vaxxer, putting him in charge of an anti-vax committee.
Yeah.
There's rumors that his son, his 10-year-old son.
Yeah, Baron.
Has autism and that he is, Trump blames vaccines.
He's got a peculiar demeanor.
Sure.
But so does Trump.
Niece-like, if you will.
Actually, all the Trump kids have a slightly different demeanor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bit of a tad Western feel, if you will.
Not Western.
We all found a quiz for autism in the chats, and we took it. Aaron and I scored like below the line. Tad Western was off the charts.
Oh, he's a spectrum breaker.
Which really surprised me because he doesn't seem like, but yeah.
That's why in person he's so quiet.
Right. He shitposts in real life.
In his mind, there's all kinds of things going on.
That's why he didn't get the signal, which is, shut the fuck up. You're bothering me on my own podcast. So
no, I think he just was enjoying it rolling with it.
Yeah, he kept at the party, he was like, I knew it was bothering you. I loved how it was bothering you.
And
so
the fact
I kept
Ted
it.
Took that test as a troll. He's not autistic at all, but he wanted to be the most.
Right. Which, not that there's anything wrong with being autistic.
No, because we all are to an extent.
Absolutely. I'm like,
stop.
Your James Neese is a terrible person. So, Trump is the kind of guy who doesn't buy into government.
Well, he questions things at their foundational principle.
Exactly. He doesn't buy into the deep state. He doesn't buy into, you know, deep state meaning established Washington, the bureaucracy. He doesn't buy into the protocols and traditions. I mean, he's very much, if I were president, I'd be like Trump. I'd go, I don't understand why we do this. I'm not doing it that way.
No one's ever done that.
It doesn't make sense. I don't care if you know, Richard Nixon started doing it, and every president has done it since. It doesn't make sense. It's dumb. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, we shouldn't do something that is irrelevant or redundant.
Right.
He's one of these rare presidents that kind of come along every 40, 50 years. You know, like your Andrew Jacksons, your Calvin Coolidges, your Tafts, that kind of do these weird shakeups of how things are kind of run.
Right.
Like Teddy Roosevelt also had that kind of demeanor as
JFK.
Well. There's a lot of presidents that come every now and then that seem like in a cycle. Like you get like 20-something years with these status quo type presidents, mm-hmm. and then you get somebody that's like, even going back to Andrew Jackson, how do I offend all these uppity, rich, upper middle class, like
right.
Republicans and Democrats here? Let's invite hookers, and right. we'll have them fuck on the floor, and I'll apologize for it.
Right.
Calvin Coolidge with his whole, I'm just not going to listen to you. Taft with his whole, I don't really care to be president, I just want to be Supreme Court Justice, so I'll just...
This is an audition.
Right.
Yeah. I mean... It's nothing new for him. I mean, it's probably shocking to a lot of people for people to be like, man, he's so loud, he's so aggressive, how this thing is, but it's because you haven't dealt with it in 40 years.
Sure.
Like, you know, we go back to like FDR. FDR was the same way, just an aggressive asshole that right. getting things done.
But he was acceptable. Like, you know, he was approved by the elite and the status quo.
He was a governor. He
even
was,
Andrew Jackson, to an extent. I mean, he's a hero, you know, a war hero, winning the Battle of New Orleans. He was somebody that was runner-up for, I mean, Trump is a really different animal in that he is a true, genuine outsider without ever being a part of any kind of government bureaucracy, organization, or inside crowd.
Jackson is the only one that comes close because Jackson was a total backwoodsman from Tennessee.
And yeah, he could also play this part of charming statesman.
And he and John Quincy Adams, who at the time you couldn't
globalist.
Couldn't get more globalist than
he was
than
the, wasn't he the ambassador to Russia during Monroe's time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right? Son of John Adams, yeah. The president.
He did some great work. Built more trails than a national park.
Really?
The Biltmore Trails.
Andrew Jackson. Oh, God damn it, James. So terrible. You're going to have to alert me to these racial things, Greg. I don't know.
Why would I know him?
I don't know him as well as you.
Could assume it. Why would I know them better than you?
Why do you assume it's racist?
I mean, you just bought a pair of Lens 420s on the internet. The Lens 430s, those boots. You know, we're on the bottom when you walk in the
stop,
mud.
Stop, racist.
When you walk in the mud, they're swastikas.
But no,
so,
it's, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely a totally different animal than the public and everybody's. That's why he just causes so much panic.
Well, and then, you know, there Washington's different now. I mean, there is the bureaucracy really runs things because change is damn near impossible, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's just continually grown. And even New York Times today, there was a great op-ed writing about how President Obama went in with all the idealism to go in and change Washington, and it foundationally changed him. It beat him as he's leaving.
Him, yeah.
And so that's the thing is Trump, though, is going to the Central Intelligence Agency and saying publicly and with a ton of vitriol, what you guys do is not intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then why do they have a job?
Right.
Why do they exist?
Well, it's not the CIA. It used to be two people for one person in the field, and now it's 20 people.
Right.
It's Harvard people. I have a classmate.
Yale.
I have a classmate who works or worked for the CIA.
Right. And I mean, that's,
you know, and it's not,
it's infiltrated every element of the existing bureaucracy.
Right.
You know, they are the great, they have people in every agency and every level of government, state, local, federal, and every community in America. And that is just not, and their budget is also, classified, top secret, and unlimited.
And
it doesn't, they can borrow as much as they need.
Right.
And so Congress, there is an oversight on Congress authorizing those funds, and with the ability for the U.S. to borrow and print their own money, they are unlimited in power.
And the difference between the change agents of Obama and Trump, what I'm seeing now is Trump is insulating himself and seems to be, you know, Barack Obama came in and hired a lot of
Clinton people.
The Clinton people. And what I'm seeing out of Trump is somebody who is much more isolated, who's like, I'm just going to be president out of the Trump Tower, and I'm going to be the president that I want to be. I'm not going to be the president that Washington thinks I ought to be.
Right.
And Obama didn't have the fortitude to overcome the criticism that comes with it. Trump, on the other hand, has literally dealt with this his entire life. From the time he turned 20 and started making money, he had the New York tabloids.
And I mean, he was an irritant in high school. I mean, he had got sent to the New York Military Academy because he was such a pain in the ass. His dad sent him there to learn discipline, ended up being president of his class, captain of the baseball and basketball team. Like, he's a leader, but he's annoying as hell. Right. Like, he just irritates people because he questions everything and won't just go along to get along ever.
Maybe that's why you like him.
I do. Well, I like people that do first principles thinking, like Peter Thiel, who spoke at the Republican he actually spoke at the Republican convention, and he is homosexual, Stanford graduate, founder with Max Levchin of PayPal.
Infuses blood of the innocent children into his own body.
He does a little bit of the blood transfusion.
A little bit of Moloch.
Well, you know, that's the way things go out in Silicon Valley. It is a leftist area, but...
What's wrong with that? Listen, Greg. I want to make sure you're doing your prayers to Moloch every day, right?
I'm praying. I'm not doing the child sacrifice.
See, we agreed that we'd start praying to Moloch and child sacrificing so we could be famous.
Have you been holding up your end on the child sacrifice?
Absolutely.
Blue Ivy?
Yes.
But Thiel's famous for being contrarian and understanding first principles thinking. Like, everything he does is he tries to challenge the original assumption. And that's why Trump appealed to him so much, is because you didn't just come in and say, all right, well, I'm going to slowly reform this massive bureaucracy. Trump came in and said, why do we have it?
Yeah.
Justify your existence. Justify why. Even I get it. We have a huge military apparatus all across the world to exert and influence. Why do we need it? Should we need it? What's the opposite of that argument? And doing so, though, that puts you at risk. You are the enemy number one of every person in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And that is that's a funny part of the, you know, for people who haven't been to Washington and experienced it, Washington is a place where they're not measured on output, they're measured on input.
Mm-hmm.
It's what schools you went to, it's who you know, it's your pedigree, your credentials. Everything is about input. It has nothing to do with the actual results. They're not a results-oriented, it's not a results-oriented area. And so for someone to come in and be only results-oriented, it has everyone on high notice.
Yeah.
I would assume, since they're mostly public sector employees, he never had dealt with like a CEO change.
Mm-hmm.
And
everything's usually stayed the same. The ship has relatively been stable.
Right.
CEO changes, especially in large corporation, usually means a lot of doom for a lot of upper level echelon management types. Because when you get a new CEO, the first thing the new CEO is going to do, I need a new COO, a new CFO. I need people I can work with, I know I can work with. So the new CEO comes in, like, say, let's just use Apple as an example. You get a new CEO at Apple. It's going to start going down from the C level down to the director and VP level. All those people are going to be changed. They're going to keep the ones that kind of mesh really well, that kind of understand how things kind of function together. Maybe some operations people will stay.
The institutional knowledge folks.
But most of these other, you know, vice presidents of acquisitions, vice president of policy and finance, these people are gone. Like, mm-hmm. They're going to get put in with people like this guy knows that he's worked with. He might break up from his old company over here, but he's going to get these people that he knows is going to work with them. Public sector employees never really deal with that. Like, new president might pick new cabinet members at the top echelon, like Secretary of Defense. But the people in these giant bureaucracies that are like 30, 45 buildings in the United States, like 10,000, 20,000 employees, they've probably been there since the Reagan administration.
Right. Well, I mean, you look at, heck, all like the Council of Economic Advisors and these people have been around since before Reagan. They were there with Carter, you know, when they were like the negative voices on this Council of Economic Advisors.
At this point, they're just
Jim Webb was under Deputy Secretary of the Navy under Reagan. Like Washington is not a place where you're measured on how you do. It's seniority based promotional type, like Leon Panetta.
Right.
You know, they just stay there. They're in roles that aren't elected, and then it's their time because they know, you know, the other person has gone on the speaking circuit and written a book. They're no longer politically popular, and so they appoint next man up. Mm-hmm. And that, but that's not how this is going. Rex Tillerson, Jeff Sessions being Department of Justice, even though he's a lifer, he is radically different in his approach to how he will pursue lead the Department of Justice in investigations into corruption.
I mean, I don't feel bad that they go. A lot of these people already have pensions and stake in there. The people that have been there since like the 80s and 70s, they already have their pension and stake. So if they get fired or let go, it's just a retirement for these people.
But right. A lot of them, though, this is like they don't have skill sets that transfer over to the private sector.
Did you see the article? I think I posted it in our group. If you're not a member of the We Are Libertarians fake news group, then go to wearelibertarians.com. On the right, you'll see the access and you can request access to the group. But I posted the article where Trump was blamed. It was a Politico article where Trump was blamed for job reception. It's called the Trump Recession in Washington, D.C. And all these Democratic staffers who have been there working for Obama and all the agencies and all the senators who all expected to get jobs with Clinton and all expected to get jobs with all the Democrats that were all going to win are all unable to find jobs in Washington, D.C. and are all upset that they have to go back to where they came from. And that there aren't any jobs for them, and so it's this huge recession, and people in Washington D.C. are very upset about this.
Well, yeah, I mean, he is the worst news possible for an organization that relies upon lineage,
yeah,
and pedigree, because he doesn't have any time for any of that.
No,
you know, he's the rich, ugly American. You know, history and that kind of stuff doesn't appeal, like isn't part of what he would allow.
Right, he's nouveau riche in an industry where
you're the original
old money is, you know, ruled.
Oh, exactly. And it's revered. You know, you are simply given title. Like, well, look at, he's doing it sort of with the vaccination thing with right. Kennedy. I mean, that is the standard operating procedure for Washington, D.C. is that, you know, Caroline Kennedy got a Senate seat because she is a Kennedy, not right. because of anything she's ever accomplished.
Right.
You know, for the most part, the Kennedy great grandchildren are all morons.
Yeah, so
incompetent, you know, people.
I blame Ted and his drinking problem, to be honest.
Well, he was just a great swimmer at one point in his life, but you know, wasn't so much for.
So on the Russia thing, here was his defense on this part, and this is basically where I thought it was pretty funny and
we don't
telling.
Have the actual intel from the briefing that he does, so I was shocked to see that he went ahead and said, you know, I do believe it was Russia.
I did think that was a very notable thing that he said that it was
clearly
Russia.
He's seen something we haven't.
Yeah, so he basically outlined that Russia did hack both the RNC and DNC, but
we get hacked all the time.
They weren't successful at the RNC because Reince did a great job. So here, let's listen to this little bit as he talks about his defense of why he didn't have Russian girls pee on the back.
I tell this to people yourself on nightly television. I tell this to people all the time. I was in Russia years ago with the Miss Universe contest, which did very well. The Moscow area did very, very well. And I told many people, be careful because you don't want to see yourself on television. Cameras all over the place. And again, not just Russia, all over. Does anyone really believe that story? I'm also very much of a germaphobe, by the way. Believe me.
I thought that was interesting. I mean, here's a guy who clearly understands, like, I've been in the public eye. He's been in the public eye since the early 80s. And here's a guy who understands what it's like to be constantly watched. Do you think that he's going to go to a different country and, like, enjoy people peeing on each other? Now, I will say, when I first heard that there was a video of Trump getting peed on or peeing on a woman is what I first originally heard it reported as. I said, sounds about right. Like, it's, I'm just, I'm so like, when it comes to Trump, I'm just, yeah, I believe that. That makes sense. I imagine there's a lot of the public that's like that as well, you know, but it's clear to me that like, he didn't this video doesn't exist because it just doesn't make sense. He's like, and I'm a germaphobe. I'm not going to enjoy that. I know there's cameras and I'm being watched all the time to be black.
He's like Tony Stark. He doesn't like to be handed things.
Yeah.
It goes through a third party intermediary where it's, you know, decontaminated before it reaches him.
The other thing that I would say is that you had the Billy Bush tape, but you didn't see a lot of other tapes leak out during the campaign. I would think that there would be dozens of tapes of Trump. You know, I'm not saying that he's I think he's a disgraceful person for the most part, especially when it comes to a lot of this stuff. I mean, my feelings on Trump during the campaign, I appreciate him more now as a troll. the way that he's taking it to the globalists and the Clintons, but you know, he doesn't get caught a lot. There, you'd think that there would be more undercover moments like the Billy Bush tape if he were more reckless.
Yeah, I mean, there's the public persona Trump, and then there's private Trump, and private Trump's boring and gets up at 5 o'clock and reads like 6 newspapers before he, you know, starts his day, and then he's in bed by 9. But then there's the persona Trump that's the Hollywood playboy, jet-setting around the world and all that stuff. But, you know, he ate Ivanka and Don Jr. and Eric, they all talk about like he ate dinner with them every night at 5:30.
Yeah.
You know, he left the office and then ate dinner with them for an hour and then went back for about an hour and a half to wrap up. Like
he's like James Neese. There's the shitlord James Neese, but then there's also the loving father of 700.
Right. Cause if Donald Trump had spent his career being the real Donald Trump or the private Donald Trump, then he never would have been able to build a personal brand, premium luxury lifestyle brand around a boring lifestyle of being in bed by 9.
Right.
No one would have bought Trump steaks. Well, no one bought Trump steaks anyway, but if you know, you'd never been able to license that out.
The Trump clapper.
Yep. James Clapper?
It's just amazing that the media and the intelligence agencies and the deep state, as Glenn Greenwald has described it, they are just so out for blood. They have the Trump deranged syndrome too, derangement syndrome, where it's just like they'll believe anything, they'll do anything. And like, as somebody who is a neutral party, I'm not pro Trump and I'm not pro Clinton and I'm not pro CIA. I'm just sitting here trying to figure out exactly what's going on to make up my mind. I look at it and I go, okay, well, these people are so desperate to tear this guy down that they'll go to lengths where, you know, WikiLeaks. I wish I had the tweet in front of me, but WikiLeaks said, you know, this 36-page document, anybody who's in any way involved in intelligence would look at this and go, this isn't an intelligence document.
They said, we only deal in 100% authenticity. This is not authentic whatsoever, so don't make that comparison.
There isn't the same sort of
vetting
WikiLeaks said it was like the typesetting, the way that the indentations, the markings, none of it looked like an intelligence document. It was a 36-page Word type document, and he goes, that's not credible.
Part of it in there was saying that if Ivanka doesn't do this, then I'll die, and it was like a 4chan meme about, you know, when you see the scrolling Donald, if you don't XYZ, then Donald Trump will die or you'll get good luck for 10 years. Like, that was included. That was the level of the dossier intelligence. Right.
And so CNN writes an article about the BuzzFeed post and about this document, and it was co-authored by Jake Tapper and Carl Bernstein, of Woodward and Bernstein fame, who couldn't have been a bigger anti-Trump, pro-Hillary whore during the campaign. His level of journalistic integrity, you know, everybody, oh, well, he's Carl Bernstein. It's like, no, he's very decidedly pro-Clinton, which makes him not a journalist. It makes him, at best, a commentator.
He's part of the PR department. He's of the Clinton a PR department,
right. And so Jake Tapper, whom I love, but was also in the WikiLeaks as somebody who
in the bag.
Was cooperating with the Clinton campaign. These are not credible. You know, this is Carl Bernstein is not a credible reporter when it comes to anti-Trump or pro-Clinton anything. You know, and so they had this long, poorly written piece where they start talking about memos, and then you're like trying to read back, going, where did the memo stuff come? What are they talking about? It just was very poorly written, and it was explaining the source, the single source British intelligence agent that, you know, the CIA has vetted and believes, And so I'm sitting here looking at it going, okay, well, they have a single source for their story. And
who's a mercenary for Oppo Research of political opponents.
Who is paid for by anti-Trump people. And this is your blockbuster breaking news, and this is what this is the basis of this is a Russian smoking gun. This is the smoking gun that we have heard about for all these months.
If you think that, no wonder, like, if I were Donald Trump, I'd do the exact same thing, because the FBI, I didn't know this until Zero Hedge reported it in The Guardian. The FBI tried to get FISA warrants on 4 senior leadership officials within the Trump election campaign.
Wow.
To track his involvement with Russia that was based off an allegation. And the court said, no, absolutely not. You have to narrow this down. They wanted it with Richard Cohen, his attorney, Paul Manafort, who, because of his ties to foreign governments,
to Ukraine,
would be a probably decently easy person to get one on.
He was a political consultant for pro-Russian Ukrainian for political circles in Ukraine who were pro-Russian
during
the Crimean conflict.
And so, you know, they tried to get 4 FISA court warrants on the senior officials within the Trump campaign, including his private attorney.
And Cohen was, and he talked about this in the press conference, but Cohen was supposedly the one who was going and having these secret meetings, and he was listed. And so
staying in Moscow.
And so Trump called Cohen to his office and he said, bring your passport to me.
Oh, no, it was Prague. They thought he'd been in Prague for a private meeting, the same place where meetings about WNDs happened back in 2003.
Okay. And so Trump called him to his office and said, bring your passport. And he looked at it and he goes, wait, you haven't even left the country, let alone been in Prague. And so he goes, what is this? And so they went back and they cried foul and they found out it was a different Richard Cohen. And so the smoking gun, again, of the private attorney being the Russian secret agent was a different guy. He was supposedly the broker between Russia and Trump's campaign, the private attorney, and it was a different Richard Cohen. So everything that you've heard about Russia...
There isn't a Russian tie.
There isn't a Russian tie, 100%.
It's fabricated.
And so all it took was them leaking it out into the public. And I will say, you know, for BuzzFeed's part, people smear BuzzFeed for putting it out. And I say, I'm glad they did, because you know what? We got the truth once they were transparent. They put
this would have followed him around the rest of his presidency.
Exactly. BuzzFeed and Ben Smith, formerly of Politico, who now runs BuzzFeed. You know, BuzzFeed
isn't Politico glad.
Yeah, but BuzzFeed just hired away who's the Blockbuster reporter that busted his butt?
Kaczynski?
Yeah, something like Kaczynski.
Andrew Kaczynski.
And he's like, you don't know it's tied to him, but you know his work. If you look up his record, and CNN just hired him away to do the K-File TV show.
Good, the fake news organizations have a revolving door.
Uh-huh. And so BuzzFeed decided, well, let's put this whole thing online. And so they posted the whole thing. And thank goodness they did, because we now know the truth. And they look bad, but...
John McCain personally handed this thing to the FBI.
Right. And they ran... And they all ran with it. Is this more or less damaging than WMDs?
It's not damaging at all now. In hindsight, or to the intelligence community?
Yes.
This is the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
This is grounds for an entire, you know, basically reordering, cleaning house.
This gives him license to do what he wants to do already.
They played directly into his hands. Like, that's what Glenn Greenwald was so upset about, was saying, by doing this, by going to these lengths, you have played exactly into what he needs in order to radically change and have almost, you know, license from the American people that don't trust any of the government institutions any longer or see them as fair or just.
He also, I think for most observers who are part impartial, like my, you know, I'm far more pro mainstream media than most libertarians. You know, I like to read The Hill. I believe what I read in Politico.
Yeah, we're not buried. You know, we don't bury our head in the sand, libertarians.
He's got plenty of Salon articles.
No, fuck them. But I look at this and I go, this is just gross.
This is conspiratorial.
This is conspiracy.
The FBI, CIA, and all of the mainstream media were actively promoting something that no one had ever taken the time to say, well, what do we actually know?
Right.
When you're an intelligence agency, with the Federal Bureau of Investigation tasked with investigating such claims and the veracity of them.
Massive tools and unlimited budgets.
What a failure.
Yeah.
They couldn't go to 4chan? James Neese is a mod. All you had to do was contact James Neese. He'd have sent you to the archive thread, and away we go.
All I got
to
say is lock her up.
Lock her up?
But no, like, the thing is, a lot of people, like the conspiracy theorists, they always believe that the intelligence agencies really just acted on the wishes of the political elite.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I want to do this. Can you justify this? Can you make a dossier report? Says, okay, we're justified. It's like when they did with Bush and the WMD. It's like, I want to invade Iraq for alternative reasons, either profit or
global
vendetta.
Yeah, global supply of oil.
Hegemony, whatever. You know, and I just need some proof so I can go in front of a bunch of idiots in front of Congress and have them believe it.
Right.
And because they take that to the American people, the news reports on once it goes to Congress. So the CIA and the FBI and all these agencies would function as a political arm for these elites in Washington to be like, let's bomb Pakistan. I need justification to bomb Pakistan because I know the UN is not going to give it to me right away. So I get my CIA to manufacture shit that says Pakistan is selling yellow cake uranium to Afghanistan and Russia and is violating these five treaties, and it's all fabricated.
Happened in Czechoslovakia Prague at this hotel.
Your administrative part of the CIA fabricates the fact. You have field agents go plant stupid shit there and say, look, here's pictures. We found it here.
Well, you pay them to be the source.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the scary thing about the CIA is it's just as easy to go ahead and pay the person you're trying to set it up to give such justification. They can hire an outside contractor, and that's our source.
Yeah.
That's who gave the testimony.
People are like, and they're on the payroll. Like, could this happen? I'm like, it probably happens
all the time.
More than you think.
Gulf of Tonkin, the Vietnam War. They needed justification to stop, you know, domino theory that communism would spread.
Yeah. If you don't know about the Gulf of Tonkin, look it up. It's a catastrophic failure of the American government, but was used by LBJ to escalate the perpetual war state and push us into
Vietnam.
It's
what he needed to get us into it.
You have to convince the House of Representatives. Like, it's the senators know already, like, when something that is odd to the American people, the senators already know, the president already knows, the intelligence community already knows that this is not really the truth, but this is what we're passing on. You have to pass it off to the lower house, the House of Representatives, so they can go to their 483 whatever districts and be like, oh my God, look at this bullshit that's happening. They tell these people. It's like anything that the Senate and the president and the vice president, anybody in these top echelons want to do, they bullshit the House of Representatives because they know that will be the mouthpiece that goes out in the district mailers that become the hot topic every 2 years for voting things that gets put in the media. Representative blah, blah, blah.
They have a reason to make it a shitstorm.
Right.
Whereas senators, you know, that's the statesman. You know, but in this case, you have the senior senator from Arizona, former presidential candidate, giving fake news to the FBI and CIA, and neither one of them could make heads or tails of whether it was false.
And let's be honest about John McCain. John McCain was in a prison camp in Vietnam, and it was a proxy war between the United States and Russia. And the dude has a hard-on for Russia. And he is... The idea that Russia is controlling all of the governments all around the world and is controlling all of the media around the world is so stupid. In and of itself, it's so dumb.
When the United States spends more than the next 26 countries combined on the military,
right?
25 of whom, except Russia, are our allies.
Yeah,
what are we afraid of?
And Donald Trump. So I was watching the press conference with a younger female liberal staff member, a coworker, and a reporter goes, you know, would Hillary Clinton have been tougher on Putin than you would have? She goes, of course he would have, or of course she would have been tougher on Putin. And I just look at her and I go, you're probably right. She would have been tougher on Putin than Trump might be. But for what point? What reason?
Why do you want to be tough on Russia? They just got us out of Syria and Middle Eastern conflict by taking the lead role in brokering it with Assad and the transition government.
Right. And it just kind of like, she didn't have an answer because she probably had never thought, like, what's the virtue of being tough on Russia? It's just like, we need to be tough on them. Yeah, we need to be tough on them. And Trump is so right. Like, if Putin likes me, great. Why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we want to be trading partners with Russia and China and North Korea? I would love to be trading partners with North Korea, because then that means that their people would be eating, because they would have economic growth in their country.
It's good for human liberty when there isn't, you know, hostile conflict and, you know, basically dick measuring contest between right. foreign leaders.
They could just be upset about the Arctic trade routes, because Russia owns a large majority of the Arctic trade routes, especially when the ice caps start to wane and melt.
Yeah, they own all of it.
Lift that mic up a little bit.
You know, that's that, yeah, you could be upset about that, but I mean, that's assuming that global trade is forever done by sea. You know what I mean? Like, and truth be told, the Chinese tell the Russians what to do. They're their financiers, and they're the, you know, really what makes Putin so strong, is they always have them in the bag.
People need to realize that we are at a moment where human liberty has never been more achievable, because war is less possible. When the intelligence agencies of our country are weakened, it makes war less possible, and it makes liberty more possible. And that's a sad state of affairs.
This was the greatest thing to happen from a libertarian perspective, like,
exactly
in years.
Right. Because this makes this gives us the opportunity. And I'm not saying it's about Trump, but their anti-Trump derangement and them getting caught with their pants down in both the press side and the intelligence side, it shows you how the perpetual war machine that Eisenhower warned against, yet
here it is,
perpetuated and built.
Evan buys out lobbying for it, right. Consulting.
It is something that needs to justify its existence, and so you know
they hate that,
right? And that's why, like, you hear an Alex Jones going, "Watch for a false flag. There's going to be a false flag. There'll be a major attack, and that's what they'll use to get us back into, you know, where we need to be, tough on Russia. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, and I can understand that sort of thinking, but at the same time, I don't. I think we do legitimately have an enemy in Islamic terrorism that will strike at us.
Yeah, especially as they become less, you know, there's fewer and fewer leaders. It is more lone wolf style attacks.
Absolutely. But that makes the NSA. I mean, the NSA at some level is
meaningless.
Is it? I mean, because
if it's a lone wolf style attack, there's very little likelihood that you're going to be able to anticipate it. We had knowledge on San Bernardino, Orlando.
Right.
The Tsarnaev brothers, they knew what they'd been in their cell phones. I mean, there are just a lot. There's a lot of there's so much. There's so much signaling.
Mm-hmm.
So many people match so much. So many patterns that it's worthless
through good police work.
Because at the end of the day, they all have the same markers. And only one out of a bunch. You can't just go around being the minority report and using preemptive arrests.
Right.
Because too many of the markers match up for people that never commit, you know, a lone wolf style attack.
Yeah. So it just, they don't have a reason to exist in this day and age.
They don't conduct intelligence, and the FBI can't investigate.
And then they go and they attack countries like China and Russia. And then they, you know, with the NSA, for instance, and the CIA, well, you know, why do we get DDoS attacks? Because we send them over to their countries too. Like, human liberty will flourish the second the CIA, the NSA are dissolved and we stop provoking foreign powers to be hostile with us. Human liberty flourishes through economic trade. That is good for the world. Look at Cuba. Cuba will become more and more free. China became more and more free.
They're more capitalist than us, even though they're communist.
In the 20th century, they killed 100 million of their own people as a government because they were communist. And now, because they have become trading partners since Nixon opened up China in the 70s.
Covertly.
We have used our capitalist system to infect their communist system with capitalism, and it makes liberty more possible for the Chinese. It's why they're on the brink.
Because they want Chevrolets because of the import tax, their $45,000 car, and it's considered prestigious. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even though we're selling them bad products,
right?
You know, not always the best products, they want it because of the American premium on it.
So I just don't see the virtue of keeping the CIA open. You know, Christopher Buckley, the son of William F. Buckley, I'm Facebook friends with him, and he's a great follow on Facebook, always posts really interesting stuff. And he posted about this, and he said, you know, it's time to clean house over there and replace them with good people. And I was just like, why replace them? What's the point? There's no point in having the CIA.
I mean, there has never been a more political or more advantageous time to do a massive restructuring and shining the light on the apparatus.
Yeah.
Because it was just used. Fake intelligence just made it through the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI and was then passed off and leaked by those agencies to the mainstream media in what was designed to be, truth be told, if it had been up to them, I think there would have been a very good case that a Senate investigation was done and his inauguration would be delayed. That would have been their ideal scenario. And that's what you're talking about is conspiracy.
Yep. 100%. Or the foundation.
It's treason.
Or a foundation for an impeachment trial.
Even though he wouldn't have had anything to do with it.
Right.
They would have wanted an independent inquiry done to look at who conducted all the alleged things and the interference. Who stood to benefit, and it could have led to World War III, the suspension of an inauguration of a democratically elected president, and a coordination between mainstream media and the intelligence agencies and the executive branch of the United States.
It's just very clear
enforcement that agencies. I mean,
the CIA around the world has perpetuated coups to overthrow governments
in Venezuela just recently,
right? And they tried to do it here. They tried a bloodless coup here in the United States to delegitimize, at best, or at worst, unelect or remove a presidential candidate because the presidential candidate wants to cancel out their existence. So, libertarians, you may not like Trump, but you better be paying attention to how they handle him and how he handles them and what it takes to actually start defunding and repealing the deep state of Washington, D.C.
And what are we paying for if they're not conducting their central premise?
Right.
They're not collecting intelligence and they're not conducting investigations that lead to any verifying of knowledge.
So I hope that Donald Trump ends the CIA. It would make a freer world and it'd save us a hell of a lot of money.
It would be awesome.
You replace them with cyborg clone ninjas that can watch you from the dark.
Hell yeah.
Well, I mean, they definitely need oversight. Even though what they do is conducted in secret, they've become so covert and so weaved in with every element of society that they're an apparatus that needs to be exposed.
They were spying on the Senate,
publishing
right?
of the existing setup.
They're spying on the Senate too, right?
Yeah, they've been spying on the Senate.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, they have infiltrated every level of and local and community too. I'm promise.
Again, it's that J. Edgar Hoover mentality.
Yep.
J. Edgar Hoover gave them too much authority to view their own optics within their own government. Right. The ability to have dossiers, the ability to say, we needed a kill switch in case the president goes rogue. That was his justification for it. We have to make sure that none of these Democrats getting elected are communists.
Well,
that was his justification for it.
The long-standing fight between the CIA and the FBI and who has what powers has gone on from when the Dulles brothers ran the CIA to versus J. Edgar Hoover. And, you know, if you look into the conspiracies around Kennedy, for instance, you know, Hoover was close to catching the CIA and George H.W. Bush, I guess, was part. If you read the conspiracies on the Kennedys, George H.W. Bush was in charge of the mission to kill John F. Kennedy. He was the CIA person in charge of, what was his name, Herbert or Hughes or something. And the guy, a bunch of operatives came in from Cuba and flew from Miami to Dallas. And George Bush was running an oil company at the time in the Gulf around Cuba. And it was really the base of operations that was funneling all the people for the CIA to and from Miami between Cuba.
It was
Cuba.
The United Fruit Company in
right.
South America.
And so it was George H.W. Bush that was in charge of running the operation. And what's his face? Hoover found out about all this and had found documents and started investigating, and it's a whole thing. And then there was a cover up, and that's the, according to the conspiracy theorists, that's how they justify, that's how you get the, you know, H.W. Bush talking about the New World Order and talking about expanding globalism. It compromised him, so then he will do whatever these agencies want because they have it on him, and so it's a mutual relationship. Because Prescott Bush was one of the senators who helped found the CIA and put his son into that position.
And the entire, the hiring pool for the original CIA was the Skull and Bone Society at Yale.
Of Yale, yeah. No, there is no doubt, and I'm not, like, there is no doubt that George H.W. Bush was CIA. He was the director at one point, and he was appointed the director under Ford, or as a Carter, like, just out of nowhere. And had, like, people were just like, oh, how did he become, he was just an advisor, a low advisor, and then all of a sudden he's head of the CIA. Because he had been involved in a long time. I mean, and Prescott,
he knew enough to be dangerous.
Right. And Prescott Bush was the guy who was involved in a bank that managed all the money for the Nazis in South and Central America.
Well, I mean, Jeb Bush went and worked for the World Bank with James Baker, who was the head of it at the time, down in South America. And then if you look at George W. Bush, the way he made his small non-family money, because mm-hmm. that's the rule, everyone has to go and make it on their own before they get any access to family money, was he had an oil company in Midland, Texas, where he met Laura, and it was a failure. And right. Chase Bank bought it. James Baker was on the board of Chase Bank.
Right.
Head of all the connections are there, but they're,
yeah.
And it's no shock to anybody that there is a system of global elite that protect each other
mm-hmm.
until now.
Sure.
Now the ultimate outsider's at the head of it.
Right. If you look at every president going back, really, I mean, you can't find somebody in the 20th century. I mean, from Wilson on, that wasn't a part or invested in some way in a global elitist tie. Or you're a Clinton who had aspirations, who falls in with, you know, William.
He married a Rodham.
William Fulbright, and who, you know, and then he goes and he becomes
Yale Law,
Oxford. So Trump is really the first presidential person who's not part of the global elite, tied to these big banks, tied to global corporations, who doesn't have their interest at heart. So, and the CIA, make no mistake, where do you think the CIA gets their information? A lot of it is business intelligence. It is corporations like a Rex Tillerson who is going over and talking to Russia, who, you know, they latch on to, maybe not a Tillerson, but somebody who's in Tillerson's office.
You get it.
Or somebody who is an attorney for ExxonMobil, who is going to Nigeria to negotiate deals. Well,
like those Panama Papers.
Sure. Explain that.
The Panama Papers were the leak that showed, you know, the corruption and the protection of a multinational law firm out of Panama that was basically covering up and covering the tracks of every global elite. You had David Cameron, you know, being right. covered up for being championing man of the people while hiding assets and getting rich off government.
Yeah.
You know, they exist within their own little cocoon. And yeah. this is the first time that one of their own isn't in charge or in the room when decisions are made.
And this isn't conspiracy stuff. This is the truth.
Verifiable fact.
And this is what I always love to tell conspiracy theory people. It's like, it's not hidden in the shadows. It's all right there for you to look at. Like, and I think if you look at a lot of what conspiracy theorists say about, like, the JFK assassination, some of it's leaps to try and make the jigsaw puzzles fit together, but, like, the history of the Bush family, that's rock solid. Like, you can prove that. Like,
the autopsy was done illegally. The president's body has to be, the autopsy has to be conducted at the Air Force Base in D.C.
Right.
And that, Andrews Air Force Base, and it was done in Dallas in the hospital.
Yep.
The brain went missing.
Yep. Parts of Kennedy's body never made it to Washington, D.C.
And so, I mean, yes, it was fog of war, but that more and more, that's becoming the excuse for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Literally everything. Oh, in the moment, I couldn't remember.
And once you start to really look at, like, Kennedy, you go, okay, here's a dude who, just after the Bay of Pigs and after the Cuban Missile Crisis, increasingly distrusted the CIA and the Dulles brothers and the Federal Reserve, and a lot of these...
Well, he didn't think it was right that we don't print our own money.
Right,
our own money as a country.
These global institutions, and then all of a sudden he's dead.
Same thing with you know, every president who's...
We're about to start wrapping up here.
Oh, okay.
Because I know you got to go at 9.
Yeah, I got to go. But
before you pop that beer...
I was getting woke.
Yeah. Listen, I'm telling you, man.
My vitality's through the roof.
Are you feeling? Do you feel it? Do you feel any different?
I don't know if it's because it's been more of a conspiratorial show or it's
not,
because...
But don't say that, because it's not a conspiracy.
No, it's fact.
It's fact.
Look, the conspiracy was done by the FBI, CIA, and mainstream media.
Right.
What if when you take that, it gets you in a hallucinogenic state where you're just talking about conspiracies? Like, you know, you're thinking you're
is
getting
Niece
ripped.
Here?
Is that real?
Am I looking at James Niece, or am I imagining it?
But we're not talking about anything that is conspiratorial. You can go and look it up. I mean, we have the documents, but... But you can go and look it up. Like, they are out to get... No, I mean, but it is. It's the truth. Like, what has happened recently is it is the CIA, the FBI, and the media conspiring to overthrow the election of Donald Trump.
Yeah. And it was willful. They knowingly did it because you can't tell me they didn't have the resources or the ability to verify the sources, check the technology and the traces out, and, you know, track things down. Because if Zero Hedge, the equivalent of a much more popular We Are Libertarians, had the ability to track this thing down with the Telegraph and the Guardian, then there's no way that the largest intelligence and investigative organizations on the planet couldn't have done it.
You know what's ironic is, back in the day, we always used to say, like, the FBI watches 4chan, but I guess 4chan watches the FBI.
They do.
Well, and the thing is that...
They said they literally got a hoax past them.
Right.
That's incredible.
That's great, because the FBI would...
Because you're a bad mod.
The FBI used to watch 4chan because it was a no rule post anything you want. So, of course, people would post things that you shouldn't post, like child porn sometimes. Okay. Well, this is 4chan. You don't know where they're posting from. They post from all over the fucking world. So sometimes we got the FBI watching. But it's hilarious that the same agencies that would watch the website to try to patrol us, to catch us doing something dirty, to trying to catch us riding dirty, essentially, are now taking information from the website and passing off as
fact. Original. That's the original source on their 35-page document.
So
by an MI6 consultant, spy.
Let's just get a smiley face and drop the shades and be like, I just shit posted you guys out of existence. But
it's incredible. I mean, the fact that they lacked the willingness, what they did is they preyed upon the public trust in their organizations. They knowingly did not do any verifying of the claims or tracking down of original sources. Instead, they preyed upon the public and then colluded with the mainstream media, which is all, Donald Trump, he didn't tell anybody and it got leaked to the intelligence communities. All of this checks out. They knowingly did this to the American public while being perfectly fine letting go of any responsibilities and the authorities they have.
You just assume to believe it. It's like Trump, he grabbed those pussies, right? So of course you might.
Well, we know he talked about doing that.
Yeah, but that's just the impression that he's, the lead up from the left wing going to the election was, He's almost a sexual predator. In fact, he is a sexual predator. That's what the Democrats were saying. That's what socialists were saying. Green Party people. We can't elect him because he's a sexual predator that harasses, assaults women. So what makes sense for the CIA to push out some fanfic written by a 4chan user that Donald Trump likes
was in
to,
Moscow at the presidential or at the presidential suite at some hotel
that
or,
he pays whores to piss on crucifixes or some
because
shit
Obama
like that,
slept in the same suite.
Yeah, so some Marc A. de Sade type of shit, some masochistic, sadistic, like we pay these things to piss all over everything.
Really, 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, in the courts of old, like if you read any of the Robert Greene books, Greene with an extra E, and you read about the courts of Europe and you read about the history of court politics, everything that just happened has happened all throughout history in courts as people try to overthrow power and keep power for themselves. Why are we so naive to think that the people that are in Washington, D.C., the people that are permanent Washington, that they wouldn't do that when somebody like a libertarian or a Donald Trump
anti-power... Oh, Gary Johnson would have already resigned.
Right.
He would have... Like, that's the difference.
They would have...
Is Trump's mean and nasty enough that he thinks he can go toe-to-toe with the Central Intelligence Committee, the FBI, and the mainstream press and win. And he did.
Right.
Gary Johnson would have gotten eaten, chewed up, spit out. Bill Weld would have undermined him, fed into the narrative.
Because he's part of that establishment.
No one is there. The fight, what you're up against is so unimaginable, it's incredible. I mean, and you just have to spend your entire life being the irritant in order to prepare for it.
Yep.
To the point it really doesn't matter what any of them say.
Why didn't they just rig the election? It would have been easier.
Now, did you see the president declared the election infrastructure? So, like, The polling machine, the machines, all of voting infrastructure is now under the authority of the Department of Homeland Security.
You're kidding.
Nope. One of his last acts, leaving office.
Isn't it
avoided press coverage.
Hey, isn't it weird that the state of Georgia and
hacked by the Department of Homeland Security.
Several other states on Election Day reported that the Department of Homeland Security hacked their voting systems.
Yep.
Isn't that weird? So
they've filed a form, you know, they've filed a complaint, but they're waiting. They don't want to do it until the Trump administration takes office to have it investigated.
We've moved from 1776 to it's happening.
Yeah.
To Alex Jones.
Well, listen. So, all right. Yeah. We got to start wrapping up. So James, final thoughts for this episode. I know that you have many thoughts, and we didn't have much James on the show. We didn't get a lot of James out of you today.
I'm just too busy trying to be related to the 4% of the world's population. And
so if you want to
over there swiping right on that co-parenting website,
if you want to hit up James for some babies, he can jerk off in a cup, or he can just do it natural style.
I'm 100% well versed in cucking. I got a degree in it, PhD in cucking. It's great.
Which means if you want James to come over and impregnate your wife while you watch, he's down.
I'm a full service cuck. Like I will not only fuck your wife. I will sit down and have a beer with you and watch the game. It can be fucking Red Sox. I don't give a shit.
Full boyfriend cuck experience.
We need him in a Gomer Pyle outfit at the gas station immediately. Full service cuck boy.
Ring, well, ring.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you're fucking the guy's wife, you know, the least thing you can do is hang out with them. You know, let's go to BW's. We can get some wings.
We'll meet Aaron there. It'll be 10 minutes. Hold on, I'll text him.
It's like, bring Becky while you're at it.
Like, hey, Aaron, this is Jake. I just fucked his wife. We're here to eat some wings. Is all you can eat wings tonight? Like, hell yeah, dude. You want the soft ones or the teriyaki? Order the man some teriyaki, you know, always have a couple of beers.
Trust me, if he's a cuck, he's ordering boneless. A real man doesn't eat traditional.
Dry rub boneless.
I'm going to... now listen, their lemon pepper wings are great, okay? Their dry rub's not bad, all right? But I'm just saying, he likes chicken nuggets. He's ordering chicken nuggets off
the
menu.
Some tendies and Mountain Dew, right?
Right.
I bet he gets the buffalo chicken wrap.
Yeah, he gets a wrap.
And then substitutes coleslaw for fries.
We didn't actually do... We haven't gotten to it, but we're going to do New Year's resolutions for society. But we had this Russian stuff that we had to talk about this time.
This is pressing. This is huge. People aren't covering it that way because the people that carried out this, you know, on the American public are the ones responsible for reporting it.
So in a near future, maybe next week, we're going to sit down and talk about New Year's resolutions for society, things that you all need to do differently. We don't need to change. We're excellent. We are great.
Terrific.
I had half a pound of organic kale, and I cannot wait for you people to leave because I've got things happening, okay?
It's happening?
It's happening.
I tried to warn you. I tried to warn
you. 76 colon, man.
And
thank God you took that vitality. It's given you an incredibly powerful ability to hold it in.
But one of the things that needs to change is that we need to recognize that boneless wings are chicken nuggets. They are not wings at all. And you are ordering chicken nuggets. You are ordering reprocessed meat that has just been pressed into the shape of a nugget. If you're a man, you're going to eat traditional wings. It shouldn't even be a choice. Don't walk over to me and ask me which kind of wing I want. I want the wings. I don't want the nuggets. And don't charge me a dollar extra for some bullshit that you made in a laboratory. I want it picked off of the chicken, not made in the laboratory. I'm all natural now.
Are you breaded or raw?
Oh, breaded? Well, it depends, okay? How are you preparing it? I mean, you got to have a fried, right? Unless you're grilling.
Flash fried.
Right.
You don't have to add breading, though.
If you're at Hooters, the Daytona wings are not as good as the traditional wings. Daytona is where they grill it without breading instead of breading it.
Or they'll flash fry them when you get them naked.
Right. Now, I generally like a breadless wing with a nice light sauce, not where it's like dripping in the sauce, but it's kind of like stuck to it. Stack's Pickle has good wings, so when we go there before the show, it's always got that nice...
Why do you have curry wings?
Fuck you. Man, I'm about to rip my shirt off and come after you, bro.
Indian food is the best Asian food.
It really is.
I love Asian food. Indians
are different than Asians.
It's why...
You don't get to lump them all together.
Listen, if you are an Asian single woman and you want to get married, hit me up. Because
deep, deep, 640 million of them shit in the streets. They know how to fucking cook, dude. That's what I'm saying.
Do they cook with the right or left hand? That's what I need to know.
Loo. Poo in the loo. Look it up on YouTube. Poo in the loo. It's a public safety administration thing for the Indian people.
I've seen that.
But,
yeah.
You know, when you're so poor, you're shitting in the streets, all you really got to do is cook the rice. You know, and it's...
I just don't need, like, all this mustardy curry chicken that's curry. Gritty. I just don't like the grittiness.
That's one dish out of, like, 100 per menu. Like, you eat the curry because you're thinking, oh, Indians, those curry-eating fucks. And you're like, I better get the curry.
I like Korean food. That's my jam. Ugh, Korean food's the best.
Different than Japanese is clearly different, but like
Thai food.
Can you tell
great.
The difference? Thai food's awesome.
Thai food's great.
I can't tell the difference between I've had Korean and then had Vietnamese and then yeah. I've had Chinese is at you can't even get it in the United States. You get right. American Chinese,
right? Which is abysmal.
We haven't ripped off the South Koreans.
Asian cooking's my favorite.
Yeah, Chris is overtaking North Korean right now, right? You're eating North Korean right now.
I'm not eating a cat.
They don't even have cats in North Korea. They eat grass.
Right.
So.
All right. Greg, final thoughts for this episode?
Was there anything major? Not really. There were some odd allegations about General Mattis.
Okay. Yeah. We didn't even.
Lifelong bachelor. His confirmation today. And he has to get a special waiver since he's a non-civilian in order to be the head of the Department of Defense. But he lifelong bachelor. No kids. And there were some allegations by the left about whether he was a Lindsey Grahamnesty.
Oh my goodness!
A confirmed bachelor, and I thought that was really odd.
I don't care.
Neither do I. But it's don't rare for the left tell. To throw those attacks yeah. and make those innuendos.
Right? No, it's you know, it is what it is. It's
any tactic necessary.
We didn't really talk about this being the week where they're doing all the confirmation hearings. So he held a press conference.
Brilliant manipulation.
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
Didn't get covered.
Gets it better than anyone ever has.
For my final thoughts, I want to say everyone who came to the group prayer on Facebook and joined the group to help raise my tea.
It worked.
I'm so full of tea. I just yelled at James. I feel like I have a vein throbbing on my neck here.
Your voice has gotten lower.
It has. You're right. I think we need to go do a comparison between the last and the beginning.
We do need to have a tea measurement, though. One of these days, we're going to actually get the test and do a a tea off.
Yeah. So the test, I ought to put this on an Amazon wish list or something. I'll put it on the Amazon wish list before I put it out. There's tea tests, and so what we want to do is do a competition
for the highest level of testosterone.
See who has the highest level of testosterone.
The winner has to change their name on Facebook to first name, middle. Alpha male, quote, last name. Has to be permanently added, like brutalist overlord James.
Yes. Meese. So, I may put that on the wish list. Thank you to Christian J. Emmons. You are a lovely donor. You donated a brand new mic stand. I mentioned on the last show, like, the last piece of equipment we needed was one more mic stand. So we got one of those. And then another mic stand showed up, and I have no idea who might have sent that one. So if you're the nice...
Perhaps the same person that sent the Vitality supplement?
It's the male Vitality, yeah. So if you're the person that donated that mic stand, we appreciate that. That's really awesome of you. But we do have an Amazon wish list, and if you want to help get in on the tea competition and fund it, I mean, I'll try and find some that are not 50
boring
bucks,
podcasts have weight loss competitions. We have a testosterone competition.
I know. How many do you think we need? We need to get James in there. You, me. I think we should do Tad Western.
Rob Kendall
for sure.
You see this?
I think that'll handle it.
You see this? This is a pimple. You know I'm fucking teeming with tea right now, dude.
I know. You're full of tea. I think we should. Should we include Aaron or...
Yeah.
All right. So six. We need six.
Get Harry.
Harry. Yes. Seth.
Yeah. I'm almost afraid.
I know. I bet Seth has the highest tea. He's just full. He's getting pumped full of tea every night.
Well, the Spartans were very high in tea as well.
We should do Hannah Weber.
just need to have her on.
Yeah. Let's see. I think who else? Bittner. Should we do Bittner?
He's got super low. He ain't going to win that.
Yeah.
I mean, he does fucking like yoga and eats kale all day.
Harry, by the way, went to yoga with Bittner the other day. He showed up to yoga in his new UGG boots with his yoga mat and his hipster water bottle. Could you be more disappointed in Harry?
He's culturally appropriated from my race.
Yep. We should probably do Creighton and Galt. So that rounds it out to 10.
Oh my. That's a lot of t-tests, and they're not cheap.
No, they're not.
I was thinking max 6, but...
Yeah, that's 10 t-tests. That's a lot of donations.
That's a lot of money could spend on Facebook ads and have way more likes than a tee-off.
Yeah, I don't know, man. A tee-off, though. It'd be great. Like, if you're self-indulgent,
for sure, unless you lose.
I bet Creighton probably has the highest tee because he's so jacked.
Could we have like a round of golf with that? Like tee off at the tee off?
I bet it'd be hilarious
if
Chris Gault came back with the highest tee.
I don't know. You bet he takes a lot of Superman high down.
He does.
He was on the Alex Jones trends far before us. Set years for it to build up.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the lowest tee?
I don't know, man. That's a pretty tee infested list.
A lot of alphas.
I might be lowest T just because I am overweight, and that throws off your hormones, but I rage a lot. I fucking rage.
You've been taking double supplements, doubling up.
You hear me on this podcast, man, and I go off. I mean, I really needed this tonight because I've been raging, man.
Let's touch your cat's T.
Oh, Mittens has high-ass T.
I would fucking laugh if the cat's the highest. It's like, dude, this is a fucking cat.
See, Rob doesn't have any body hair. Neither does Aaron.
But do they shave it?
No, Aaron doesn't shave it, but he has low body hair. I bet Aaron has the lowest T. Rob has low T because he shaves it.
Does he shave it?
He shaves all of his body hair. He mocks me for having back hair. I go, you realize I'm a man? He's like, you should trim that up. You should shave off your back hair. I'm like, no, I'm not
going
to
shave
my back
hair. No one wants to be unkempt.
I'm not unkempt. Look at this hamburger meat. That's manly. You're laying in bed and a woman is rubbing her hands through your chest hair and they love it.
It's like an SOS pattern.
Oh, women love rubbing their hands through my chest hair.
It's very brillowy.
I have hobbit feet. So,
see, that's a good indicator of T is hair on your toes, and I don't have a lot, so I'm worried about
toes.
Do you have hairy toes?
We're size 14.
Oh, see, that's T as fuck. All right, thank you to whomever
I make my own memes
to whoever is making these donations and helping my T. I greatly appreciate it. You guys are so awesome, and we just want you to continue to share the show. We're starting to get a lot of word of mouth. That's really kind of growing in this new year, and a lot
your real news.
If you are listening and you're out there, please hit us with a tweet. Hit us on our personal Twitters. Hit us on Snapchat. I'm at C Spangle. You're not on Snapchat.
Nah, right? It's just too much.
You can hit us on Instagram. We're on everything at We Are Libertarians. Look us up, or you can look up Greg or I. Feel free to chat us up. Feel free to let
slide
us know
in those
listening.
DMs.
If you're a lady, especially an Asian young lady, I'm looking for an Asian wife.
Go to 38th Street. Told you that.
I
38th
love
and Lafayette.
So, all right, we will talk at you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of We Are Libertarians. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Hey guys, hi, it's me again. Yeah, I'm asking for money again. I don't like doing it. I don't. It's not like I sit here and think, oh man, I want to beg people to give us their hard-earned money. Money that they go out and they work at boring jobs all day for. You know, I know that asking you for $5, $10, $800 a month is a lot. And I know that you have a lot of options out there. You could give $5 a month to We Are Libertarians, or you could give it to, like, I can't even think of anything else that you would want to give it to, honestly. I mean, I consider us half as valuable as Netflix. So We Are Libertarians, like, according to the stock market, is worth, like, billions. They just haven't heard about it yet, which is why we need advertising. So that's why I need you to please go to WeAreLibertarians.com. Scroll down in the sidebar, make a monthly or a one-time contribution through PayPal, sign up per episode on Patreon. We're going to take that money and we're going to do stuff with it. Not like hookers and blow stuff. We already have a slush fund for that elsewhere. The Cokes send us that money. This is going to go to Facebook advertising, and other forms of advertising to grow listenership to the show so more people can learn about libertarianism. Think about it. How did you learn about libertarianism? Was it us? Did you get involved in libertarianism because of us? If you did, then it means something to you. You'd miss us when we were gone. It's not a threat. It's just I'm saying, you'd miss us if we were gone. So, please, wearelibertarians.com, make a contribution. The more contributions we get, the less of these there will be. That was a threat. Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.